This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the sixth chapter, beginning with verse 12. Here we are exhorted that we be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath is for confirmation to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. This morning, we'd like to talk to you about receiving the promises of God. We have sung "Standing on the Promises of Christ My King." And we have all of us experienced those times in life where we have stood upon the promises of God. Promises are an important part of our culture and an important part of our life. We, it seems, are constantly seeking to solicit promises from people. Someone says that they'll do something, we'll say, "Promise?" You know, we want them to give us a promise that they're going to do it. A promise is actually giving your word that you're going to do a certain thing. And thus in the Bible, the promises are God giving to us his word that he's going to do certain things. And the Bible is full of promises. In Peter we read, "For unto us are given exceeding rich and precious promises." And as we go through the Bible, we find so many rich promises. God has given his word to do so many things for us. We found so many precious promises where God promises his love and his care and his goodness to be with us and to help us in the various stages of our lives. You see, God wishes to be to you whatever you might need. God wants you to learn to turn to him for every need that you have. When God revealed himself through his name, the name Yahweh or Jehovah, the name is actually a verb which means "I am." And God revealing himself through this name is declaring, "I am to you whatever you might need." So we find the compound names of Jehovah or Yahweh. As God has revealed himself to us as the one who becomes to us whatever our need might be. But we realize that a promise is only as good as the person who is making the promise. Have you ever had someone break a promise that they made to you? Or have you ever broken a promise that you made to someone else? You see, sometimes we promise more than what we are capable of doing. We intend to do it, we want to do it, but when it comes right down to the actual performance, we're not able to perform that which we've promised. We've promised more than what we were able to do. Sometimes we make promises and we just change our minds. A more exciting opportunity comes forth. You know, I promise I'll be over tonight. But then someone gave me a couple tickets to the game, you know. And so, well, I'll be over next week. But you break the promise because you've changed your mind and you're going to do something else. And because we do break promises and have broken promises, I think that sometimes we have the tendency of mistrusting God a bit because of the promises that He has made. And we wonder, well, is God going to change? Or is God able? But in reality, when we are dealing with the promises of God, there never needs to be a question of God's ability. The scripture said, He is able, that which He has promised, He is able also to perform. God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should boast. Hath He not said, and shall He not make it good? And then also we read, now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So there's no problem with God's ability to perform the promises that He has made. Nor need there be any worry about God changing His mind. For He said, behold, I am the Lord God, I change not. So where we may have a problem with man's promises, we should never have a problem with God's promises. You know, there are some people, when they say they will do something, you just can count on it. You say, well, He's a man of His word. If He said He'll do it, you can be sure He'll do it. There are others that you say, well, you'll be lucky if you see Him, you know, because He's great at promises, but He doesn't come through very often, you know. And so we learn to look at men and judge them by their word, whether or not they really mean what they say or just are making empty promises. It is sad, though, that people do often treat God's promises as though they were not trustworthy. It's sort of, well, I sure hope God comes through. I don't know what I'll do if He doesn't, you know. And so you're sort of hanging on to a thin thread that you don't know if He's going to be able to support you or not. I read one time of a farmer who, in the lull in a blizzard, decided to go over to the neighbors to get some wood. And when he came to the river, it was frozen over. And so he got down on his hands and knees and reached out in front of him and tapped on the ice to see if it was thick enough to hold his weight. And then he'd crawl out to that point and reach out and tap and crawl a little further and reach out and tap. And by the time he was about to the other side of the river, his knuckles were all bleeding and bloody from tapping on the ice to make sure it was thick enough to hold his weight. And about that time, he heard a rumbling noise behind him, and he looked up, and here came a guy driving a team of mules across the river, you know. And sometimes we, you know, are sort of tapping, you know, well, let's see if it holds me, you know. And we go through a lot of pain mentally because we don't have that kind of confidence in God that He's going to keep His word to us. There are two things that are necessary for us to receive the promises of God. Here we are told that we should be followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. The first thing that is necessary for me to receive a promise from God is faith. I need to believe God to do it. I need to trust Him. The Bible says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." So many of the promises that God has given to us are conditioned upon our believing. Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Jesus also said, "And whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So you will have them, but predicated upon your believing. Again, we read that in Nazareth, his hometown, he could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. And so we are encouraged to faith. And we are encouraged to those who, through faith, receive the promises of God. And in pointing out a person of faith, he points out to us this man, Abraham. And Abraham is used all the way through the scriptures as a classic example of a man who believed God and received the promises of God because of his faith in God. In Romans, Paul gives to us the keys to Abraham's faith. The first thing he said is that Abraham did not consider his own age when he was about 100 years old, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. That is, the first thing in his faith was not considering the human impossibility of the fulfillment of the promise. Now, what is the first thing we always look at when we are facing a tough situation? The first thing we always consider is our ability to handle it, our ability to work it out. We're always figuring out, well, now if this would do this, and I'd do this, and I'd turn here, and all, then I'm sure I can do it. And that's the thing that we're always considering first, is we're measuring it up. Well, it's an easy thing, or it's a difficult thing, or it's an impossible thing, and I'm measuring it by my capacities and my abilities. Abraham didn't do that. He didn't consider the human impossibility of the situation. Secondly, he didn't stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. There are so many times people come for counseling and we will give them a promise of God and they'll go away and say, "Boy, I sure hope this works." Well, they're staggering at the promise of God. "If this doesn't work, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do." You know, they're staggering at the promises of God. Not really resting, not really trusting completely God's promise, but just sort of staggering at the promises of God. Abraham didn't stagger at the promise of God. Thirdly, being strong in the faith, he gave glory to God. That is, he was out there praising God and thanking God before there was ever any evidence that God was going to come through with a promise. So if you would be walking down towards Hebron, you see this guy sitting out there with just a big grin on his face. You say, "Hey, old man, what are you so happy about?" "I'm going to have a son." "Ooh, that's interesting. How old are you?" "Well, almost 100. "How old's your wife?" "Oh, she's in her 90s. "Well, how many children do you have?" "None." "None? No, not yet." "How long you been married?" Well, I reckon about 70 years. You've been trying to have kids all this time? Oh, yeah. And now you say you're going to have a son, and that's why you're so happy. You got the big smile because you got a son. How far along is she? Not pregnant yet. You know, you go down the path scratching your head and say, poor old senile man. And as you're walking away, he's saying, oh, thank you, God, for that boy. Oh, all right, I can hardly wait to hold him. Oh, you're so good, God. See, being strong in the faith, he gave glory to God. He was thanking God for that son long before the son was ever born, long before Sarah was ever pregnant. Staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but rather being strong in the faith, he gave glory to God. But you see, God, in order to help Abraham, not only gave him the promise, but God then made an oath to Abraham that he would keep the promise. Now, quite often we want people to confirm their promise with an oath. When we were kids, you know. Hey, you can use my bike this afternoon. Really? Yeah, you can use it. Promise? Scout's honor, man. You know, you swear, you give an oath by my trustworthiness as a scout. Or sometimes they'll say, would you swear on a Bible? Swear on the Bible, you know, I'll do it. Or there are times when people say, I swear by God, you know. Or I swear by all that's high and holy. Now, this really shouldn't be necessary. In fact, Jesus sort of puts this down. He said, you really should not have to swear at all. Be a person of your word. When you say yes, mean yes. When you say no, mean no. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Don't swear. Don't have to be a person whose word is so uncertain that they have to require that you make some kind of an oath. But just let your yes be a yes. Let your no be a no. And any more than this is not really necessary if you're a person of your word. Now, God gave his word to Abraham, but God wanted Abraham to be comforted and strengthened in the promise, and so then God made an oath to Abraham. But when you make an oath, you've got to swear by something that's higher than you are. You don't say, I swear by my dog, I'll do it, because your dog is lower than you. So that kind of an oath would be of no value. You've got to swear by something greater than you. Now, God, wanting to give an oath to Abraham to comfort him in the promise, couldn't swear by anything higher. So he swore by himself, saying, in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. So God, taking the oath by himself, because there's nothing higher to swear by, confirmed to Abraham the promise. And Abraham believed God. And that child was born. And as God promised him, he became the father of many nations. Now, the second thing necessary to receive the promises of God is patience. We are told elsewhere in Hebrews that we have need of patience, that after we have done the will of God, we might obtain the promises. Now, I will readily confess to you that this is my area of, I think, probably greatest weakness as far as the promises of God are concerned, is my impatience with God. You know, I want God to be patient with me, but I'm so impatient with Him. When I come to God out of my desperate situation, I'm usually on a tight time schedule, and I say, well, God, you've got till 3 o'clock this afternoon, and if you don't do something by then I'm going to have to take over, and I'm going to have to see that something's done here. And I'm always giving God the time frame in which He can work, and before I move in and take over myself. We have need of patience. Let us follow the example of them who, through faith and patience. Again, Abraham is pointed out as the classic example. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. How long did he wait? Abraham was in his 60s or under when God gave to him the promise that He would bless him and make him the father of many nations. Under 60. Or under 70. He's in his 60s probably. Now he is 99 years old and no son yet by Sarah. This means he's been waiting over 30 years for God to keep His word. Now, what's that make you feel like when you've given God the 3 o'clock this afternoon deadline? God, you've got exactly 3 hours to work. Here he waited 30 years. You say, well, I can't afford to wait 30 years. My need is now. Patience. But you see, this business of patience is tied to faith. And it is really my lack of faith that creates the impatience in my heart. In reality, I hate the position of faith. I hate not knowing what God is doing. I would like it so much better if God would just spell it out and say, all right, now look, take it easy, man. Don't get upset. I'm going to do this and this and this and this, and then after I've done that, it's going to fall right into here. Oh, all right, like that, you know. Now I understand. I don't need faith anymore. And as God is doing this, this, and this, watch this, now watch. It's going to slide right in there. Watch it now. Great confidence in God. But God doesn't give me the steps. And a lot of times as He takes a step, I say, wait a minute. That's not what I wanted. You know, that's not where we're going, Lord. And I don't like this business of just faith. Trusting when I don't understand. But that's what faith is all about. Trusting when you understand, that's reason. God wants you to come to the place of faith. Trusting when you don't understand. Just trusting His word because He said it and because He confirmed it with an oath. So you see, you are resting now on two unchanging things. God's word doesn't change. And He cannot lie. So the fact that He said it and then confirmed it with an oath, you should be able to take the word of God and trust it. But why is it that we trust the word of man more than we trust the word of God? Why is it that we have such difficulty trusting God's word? Here we are, we've been sick, we've been off work, we didn't get a full paycheck this week. Rent is now due, and I don't have the money for the rent. What am I going to do? And I'm so upset, I'm just disturbed, I'm just churning inside because I don't have the rent money and I'm down and I'm just discouraged. I'm sitting there just moping, you know. And a friend calls me up and says, "Hi, how you doing?" "Oh, I don't know, not so good. What's the matter?" "Oh, I don't know. I wish I could die. I'm just so tired of living." "What's your problem?" "Oh, I was off last week because I was sick, and now I don't have money for the rent and all, and I don't know what I'm going to do." "Well, hey, man, no problem. I just won the sweepstakes, and you know, I'll be glad to loan you the money for the rent." "Oh, all right. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, this is glorious." You see, all the while you had God's promise that he's going to supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. "No, I don't know what I'm going to do. I wish I were dead, you know." Hey, you've got this glorious promise. What's the matter with you? "Well, I don't know. You know, it's rent, man. It's due tomorrow. What do you mean, you know?" And so we mope at the promise of God, but we rejoice at the promise of some man. Maybe he's a flake. I wonder what God thinks about us, honestly, sometimes. As God looks at us, you're just lucky I'm not God. Patience. So tough, isn't it? Waiting upon God. When I read about Abraham waiting for over 30 years, I feel really guilty. In fact, I feel rather miserable that I am so impatient with God. And I feel like, you know, man, what a second-rate, you know, believer I am. Abraham. And yet, I read about Abraham also that he did have lapses of faith, and for some reason I appreciate that, and I'm sort of glad. You know, I don't think I can handle perfect people. They'd be hard to be around. I'm glad when I see the imperfections of great people. It gives me hope for me. And Abraham had lapses in faith when he came into the land of Abimelech. He passed his wife Sarah off as his sister because he was afraid that they might kill him. Now, that was a lapse of faith because God had said he was going to have a son that was, you know, going to be the blessing to the world. And he had not yet had a child. And so his fear that they were going to kill him was really a lapse in faith that God wasn't going to keep the word or whatever. So I sort of appreciate that. Because I have lapses in faith. He also had a lapse in patience. Finally, one day, Sarah said, "Won't you ever give up? Look, yes, I believe that God wants to give you a son, but it's obvious that it's not going to happen by me. So you take my handmaiden, Hagar, and you have a son by her, and let God, you know, use him." He became impatient with God's keeping the word, and so he went into Hagar and had a son. You see, God had his chance, but now we're going to take over, and God needs our help. Yes, God wants to do it, but he probably can't do it without our help, and so we're going to get our hand of flesh into the thing. And we'll help God out. Oh, how much of a mess we can make whenever we endeavor to help God out. Ishmael was born, the father of the Arabs. And when the true son Isaac was born, the father of the Jews, there was sibling rivalry between the two brothers that has continued to the present day. The mess Abraham made when in the flesh he decided to help God out when he became impatient. best to just wait upon the Lord. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, what should be my proper attitude in the light of the promises of God? Verse 18, the middle portion. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. For this hope has become an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. God wants that you should have a strong consolation. He wants that his promises bring to you great comfort in your hour of need. God, who cannot lie and does not change, has sworn by an oath that he will watch over you and take care of you. Then why are you so worried? Why are you so upset? God intends that these promises that he has given be comforting to you, and that in the time of need you will learn to flee into these promises. How many times have I just stood upon a promise of God? Now, again, you can find a promise that will be appropriate to almost any situation that you could ever face, whether it be physical, material, spiritual, emotional. God's promises are there and are for you, no matter what condition or situation your life might be facing. So when you are having these great problems and difficulties, these stressful situations, go to the Word of God and find a promise of God that relates to your situation. And when you find that promise of God that relates to your situation, then take hold of it and begin to just flee to it. Every time the enemy would bring this trouble to your mind and cause you to be all upset, flee back again into the promise of God. I find it so important to have God's word as the foundation, God's promise that is there. God, you said it. And just to flee to that promise and find it as an anchor to my soul. And when Satan begins to rock the boat and I begin to get all shook, I just flee back into the promise. I say, well, Lord, you promised. It's up to you. During several phases of the growth of the church, when we had to step out in faith, make commitments, my heart would begin to panic almost as I'd think of the obligations that we were taking on in order to just accommodate the people that were coming. And as my heart would begin to tremble, the Spirit would speak to my heart and say, whose church is it? And I'd say, Lord, it's your church. Then he said, why are you worried about it? I said, I don't know. Just my nature to worry, I guess. But I would cease worrying. I would flee into the promise. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. Well, yeah, that's right. You said you would. All right. Then why should I worry if we go bankrupt or anything else, you know? Your church. Flee into the promise. And when you do, you find comfort. You find consolation. The Bible says that the name Yahweh is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. One of the compound names of Yahweh is Yahshua, which means I am salvation. Yahshua, translated into Greek, is Jesus, or Jesus into English, Jesus. The name Yahshua, or Yahweh, Yahshua, one of the compound names, is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. How many times when I have faced with a situation I didn't know the answer, what comfort I received in my heart just repeating the name of Jesus. When my children were so sick, lying there in my arms with their fevered little bodies, and what comfort I received when I just say, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The righteous run into it and are saved. And in these times of need, when we're stressed or when we're beyond our own capacities, how comforting is the Word of God? And that's exactly what God wants the Word to be. He wants His promise to be comfort to you. He wants it to be consolation to you. He wants you to flee into it and find the place of refuge, the sure and steadfast hope that we have in God's promise as an anchor for our souls, that we need not be dismayed or upset by the turmoil in the world around us, for we have God's word that He will keep and He will sustain His children. We need to learn this. We need to learn this well. I believe that the days are going to become very evil and testing, and we need now to learn the lesson of the place of refuge for the child of God is in the Word of God and in the promise of God, a sure and steadfast anchor for your soul. And though the world around you is shaking and falling to pieces, we will stand because our God sustains us with His Word and His promise. You need to learn this lesson. God, help us to learn it today. Father, we thank You for Your word and Your promise, the oath that You gave, whereby You have declared that You would indeed take care of us, watch over us, keep us, preserve us, help us, strengthen us. Oh, God, so many glorious, rich, precious promises. Forgive us, Lord, for our impatience. Forgive us, Lord, for our lack of faith. May we just take Your word and find it, Lord, as a comfort to our soul as we flee for refuge to the rock that is higher than we are. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. It could be that you barely made it this morning to church, that it was a struggle to get here. You felt, what's the use? There's no hope. And you've about given up. God saw you through. He brought you here that you might flee into that refuge for your soul, into that glorious hope, the comfort and the consolation of the Scriptures, the anchor for our soul. God's word is steadfast, it is sure. It will keep you. And now you've got God's word this morning. Go forth in the strength and in the power of God's Spirit. And know that God cannot change and God cannot lie. And He has sworn by an oath that He will keep you and he will help you, and he will strengthen you, and he will bless you because you're his child, and he loves you. So cast yourself and all of your cares upon him, and just believe in him and trust him today. And like Abraham, though you may not see any evidence yet, just go rejoicing in the promise of God, though as yet you may see nothing towards its fulfillment. You know it's as good as done because God said it. God bless you. Give you a special week of growth and development in your walk with him. In Jesus' name.